Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
If you are just now trying to shake out some cobwebs, let's just say for the sake of argument, I don't know why you would ever say this, but your alarm goes off at 4 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. Central Time. I know we have people listening that wake up this early and are either commuting this early because their job starts at a different hour, or they are on their way to the gym. They're working out at the gym. Again, I don't know why you would ever do that. If I tried to go to the gym at this early hour, I would either A, fall off whatever apparatus I attempted to use, like a treadmill or a bike, stair step or something like that, or I would not get anything done. I wouldn't have the same energy. I'd be sucking my coffee down while I was attempting to work out, and that's probably not a great combination. I saw this study, the results of a study that were done about when you should drink your coffee upon awakening each day. We call this elevator trivia because when you're riding up to the 10th floor of our building in the elevator, they have these TV screens, but it's not programming. It's various info, intel, mindless, useless information, except that Jay and I always find talking points in the elevator. There was this study done about the best time to drink coffee. And forget the reason why. I don't even care the reason why. It actually recommended, the scientific study, that you don't drink your coffee until, and I quote, several hours after you wake up. Do you know what I would accomplish several hours after I wake up with no coffee? Nothing. As in nada, zilch, zero. Nothing. Isn't the point of coffee to help you wake up?
It's supposed to be that initial jolt, right? To get you going and start the day. That's what I had thought. I guess not.
That's why people drink coffee. I bump into furniture until I drink coffee. I get out of bed most of the time because I know there's coffee waiting for me. That's what gets my rear end out of bed. And this study indicates that because of cortisol levels, something to do with your stress, that you should put off drinking coffee until several hours after you wake up.
Like, how long are we talking here? Like, an hour?
Several hours. No, it said several hours.
Several? Three?
Yes.
Four?
That's insane.
I mean, a lot of people are already on their second cup by then.
Right. And you don't drink coffee then, but you drink soda when you wake up.
Sometimes.
I just have to out Jay. I'm trying to embarrass him so he stops with these disgusting habits.
What's that?
Too much candy, thinking candy is a food group.
I don't know if that's disgusting.
No, it is. Your teeth are going to fall out.
We'll
not
see.
Today, you hope, but I am going to laugh when they do.
Because I brush them.
Oh, my gosh. And then how much soda do you drink a week?
Oh, I don't know. Per week. I mean, it's never really thought of it like that. Like one, sometimes two a day. We'll see. Nothing crazy. I'm not like a case a
Nothing
day.
Nothing crazy?
No.
A couple sodas a day? Is that crazy?
No, it's not crazy. I don't drink much coffee. I have my coffee at work.
I'm not talking about the caffeine being the crazy part, Jay. I'm talking about the sugar. Have you ever looked on the back of a can of soda?
Yeah, it's a decent amount in there.
It is.
Good amount.
It is a good amount of sugar, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Between the sugar and the coffee, the sugar and the soda and the sugar and the candy, Jay's teeth are not long for this world.
I guess I just need it. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, Jay. You don't need candy. No one needs candy.
I don't know. I've never tried without it, so.
Oh, heavens. You would think he's a 16-year-old, 13 to 16-year-old. Nope, that's not the case. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I continually remind myself I am not Jay's mom. If Jay wants to eat a bunch of candy and his teeth fall out, well, as long as he can still do the editing that I need him to do and gather the sound that I need him to do, he can wear false teeth like George Washington. I don't care. While he's in there eating Twizzlers right now, he's got one in his hand as if he's mocking those candy gods who say that he shouldn't be eating candy and drinking two sodas a day. Wow.
It's not that bad. Okay. It's really not.
All right. I got you. I mean, like I said, you can still do your job without teeth. So, I mean,
Washington did it pretty well.
Washington also lived in an era when they didn't have toothpaste or toothbrushes, you know, so.
Yeah, I brush.
Okay. I love how you just completely try to twist this as if you have no idea what I'm talking about. All right, we're moving on. Jay's teeth are not our concern. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I just realized, it just dawned on me, I haven't even opened up our Facebook page yet. We've been so busy. And coming up an hour from now, we don't typically have an interview at the top of an hour, we think. So we'll see. Ike Reese of WIP in Philadelphia, former Eagles linebacker, so an NFL vet. A lot of fun. We're going to talk to him about the scene that is Philadelphia sports. Honestly, what is the biggest story right now in Philly sports? Is it the Sixers, who are closing out the regular season, and Joel Embiid adding to his case for MVP? I would have told you this was a slam dunk a couple weeks ago, but because the Nuggets have taken a step back, and actually the Sixers, if you look at the standings in terms of wins and losses, right? The Sixers have a better winning percentage right now than do the Nuggets. I know the Nuggets are tops in the West, but they've scuffled over their last 10 games. Joel Embiid, marvelous on both ends of the court. So could he potentially overtake Joker, Nikola Jokic, for the MVP award? That remains to be seen. But the Sixers, they're in a good spot. Could this be the year they get past the second round? That is the question. The Phillies are about to hit opening day, as is the rest of Major League Baseball, but just over a week now. In fact, this time next week, it will be the start, the dawn. Well, not quite the dawn yet, but it will be the beginning of opening day because all 30 teams are scheduled to play on March 30th. Ooh, that's exciting. That's really exciting. And then finally, the Eagles, and the biggest deal with the Eagles is that they've lost seven starters, including C.J. Gardner-Johnson, something to do with the finances, and he preferred to go to the Lions. When was the last time somebody said that in the NFL? I like it. Times, they are a-changing. And so we'll talk to Ike Reese. Again, I think I mentioned this last hour. Mostly wanted to ask him about the Eagles, and then it's crazy everything else that's going on. Plus, he's a Michigan State Spartan, and the Spartans will tip off with Kansas State coming up later on today in the round of 16, the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. All right, so you can find us on either Twitter or Facebook. Our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Always toll free. We could have done an actual edition of QB News, but because we already heard from CJ Stroud and his pro day, this Thursday is Alabama's pro day. So Bryce Young will work out later on today in Tuscaloosa. Kind of broke it up so we don't actually have a QB News or dispersing our QBs, but it was interesting to hear from Sam Darnold. It's become a new thing in the NFL that no matter who you are, what position you play, or how many guys are on the depth chart in front of you, if you're a quarterback, you get an introductory press conference. This goes back to the days of Tim Tebow. Do you remember when Tim Tebow was the third QB on the Jets depth chart, and yet they held a special press conference just for Tebow? And it was a circus, of course. That, I remember at the time, talking about it on the radio, that had to be the very first press conference ever held for a third-string quarterback signing. But now it's a thing. Everybody does some type of a presser or media availability when they sign. So Sam Darnold, he may be behind Trey Lance and Brock Purdy, But he got his moment in the sun in San Francisco. And you can hear he's pretty excited about a fresh start. I think I would be too. Not to mention he went from New York to Charlotte. Now he's cross country in the Bay Area with the Niners.
At the end of the day, it was a fairly easy decision for me to be able to come here and just be able to go to work. And that's what I'm most excited for, is to be able to work with Kyle and, you know, Brian Griese and all the coaches on this staff. And again, all the players, the great personnel that is around this locker room, and from top to bottom, just excited to get started in this organization and get to work.
Okay, I know it makes me a terrible person, but when he says this was a no-brainer, this was the right decision for me, into my brain pops, wasn't it the only decision for you? That's awful.
It's a fair question. Okay.
Just out of curiosity, do we know if Sam Darnold had any other offers on the table? Hey, if you can make a living as a backup quarterback in the NFL, you certainly have a better income than the majority of the United States of America. So more power to you. But I don't recall that we heard he was being courted by multiple teams in the NFL. So I just, as I say, I'm very quick-witted sometimes. I have a sarcastic wit. In fact, sarcasm is my love language. And so when he says this was an easy decision for me, I couldn't help but think, here, let's just, I feel bad now. I feel like I should give Sam his moment in the sun again. This was a great move, Sam. You're not going to play it again? Jay, I'm waiting for you to play it again.
At the end of the day, it was a fairly easy decision for me to be able to come here and just be able to go to work. And that's what I'm most excited for.
I'm most excited for you too. To
work with Kyle.
Me too.
And, you know, Brian Griese and all the coaches on this staff. And again, all the players, the great personnel that is around this locker room, and from top to bottom, just excited to get started in this organization and get to work.
There we go. We've got Sam Darnold, who will provide this is kind of funny, the veteran presence in that locker room. That was Jimmy Garoppolo. Now it's Sam Darnold. And I'm not joking about that. I was semi-teasing. You know, I don't take sports very seriously. There are times when you need to, but I don't generally take sports seriously. Try to have an irreverent approach to them because they're supposed to be fun and entertaining. The radio show is supposed to be fun and entertaining. Trust me, I know I miss the mark sometimes, but I do attempt to bring you fun and entertaining and irreverent. There's always an attempt there. I just want you to know my heart is in the right place. Anyway, Sam Darnold is the veteran. He's the adult in the room. That's it. He's the adult in the room. Wow. Not sure that we would have thought that at any other point in his career, really.
Well, that's when everyone always said Baker needed was an adult in the room, and they were in the same room together, and that didn't go so well either, so.
They were like magnets that repelled each other. But good for Sam, because his rookie contract was done, and he needed a home, and there is a chance. Now, I'm hoping that the quarterbacks have cycled through, and the Niners are not going to have any more of these QB injuries that forced them to the third and potentially fourth. Remember, we heard from Ben Roethlisberger. He was actually contacted by the Niners last season, right? So they could have ended up with another quarterback on their roster. I want Trey Lance and Brock Purdy to get a chance. It's hard because I don't know who will win that quarterback battle. And I also know that Purdy is likely not to be ready for training camp. He's certainly going to miss OTAs. He could be ready before they get on the field, but he's not going to be able to do a whole lot in this offseason as preparation. So I'm bummed for him because I want it to be a fair fight. Not to the death, of course, but a fair fight. Not a duel to the death. But Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, and now Sam Darnold. So yeah, that would make him the veteran who's able to provide the wisdom and the experience of being kicked to the curb.
Very familiar with their games. I feel like, you know, all three of us are pretty similar. You know, we have the ability to get out and make plays when we need to that way. And we can also throw from the pocket. So I see a lot of similarities in all three of our games and, you know, just excited to work with them and meet them, as soon as possible.
It's interesting. Again, considering their recent track record, the Niners very well might have to press Sam Darnold into duty. So in the NFL, it's slowing down a little bit, but we know it will ramp up pretty soon for the draft. The draft is just over a month away. If you missed it on Wednesday, the Jets are making more moves. Man, they have been all over, right? So I guess it remains to be seen, or maybe we'll never know, if this is all about Aaron Rodgers. But if they're trying to come up with the capital that the Packers are demanding, be careful what you believe. But some of the reports out there indicate that the Packers are the ones holding up this deal because they're asking for more of the Jets than what the Jets currently have to offer. So maybe that's what these latest Jets moves are about, trying to come up with more pieces, more of a dowry, if you will, in the trade for Aaron Rodgers. And so they flip wide receiver Elijah Moore to the Browns, and in exchange, they get Cleveland's second round pick. So they give up a third round pick, but they get back Cleveland's second round pick. So now the Jets have two draft picks in the second round. Maybe these are the ones that head to the Green Bay Packers. Another move they made, former Chiefs wideout, Super Bowl winner Mecole Hardman is now a Jet. So they're able to finalize a deal with him. 1 year contract. So more of a prove-it deal for Mecole Hardman. But I like the Elijah Moore pairing with Deshaun Watson. They need some more targets. The Jets potentially doing all of this because they believe that this will be more attractive to Aaron Rodgers, But I think the biggest thing is they need to come up with what the Packers want. And I know, well, when we talked to Zach Martini of the Princeton men's basketball team, he actually spit out the line that the Packers have no leverage. But I disagree. And I do think there's a deadline. There's a point coming when the Packers have no leverage. But if they don't trade Rodgers before the draft, they actually save a hell of a lot of money under that salary cap. A lot. So I think their incentive right now is to press the Jets, get whatever they can, knowing that they don't really want to consummate this deal before the trade deadline. I'm sorry, before the NFL draft. The deadline is the draft, because the cap hit is significantly reduced and it's split over two different, actually it's June 1st, but it's post-draft. It's split over two different years. So they've got this deadline where their cap hit looks a lot different for when they trade Aaron Rodgers. The issue, though, for the Jets is a sense of urgency, because let's just say, for the sake of argument, they can't actually entice Aaron Rodgers from Northern California to participate in their OTAs. You would think he would do that. He's starting fresh for the first time in 18 years. He's got all new teammates. I know he's familiar with Nathaniel Hackett, but the head coach is completely different. I would think that if Rodgers, just for his own comfortability, wants to get a head start, then he's going to need to be there for OTAs. But he can't until the deal is done. So I disagree that the Packers have no leverage, because I think the Jets desperately want this deal done sooner rather than later so they can get this guy in the building and get started. The other piece of news that was flitting and floating around the NFL on Wednesday is that, yes, in fact, the Jets have interest in Odell Beckham Jr. Of course they do. Of course they do. Producer Jay, will you be jealous if Odell ends up with the Jets instead of with your Giants, which is where he started?
No, absolutely not. I don't want him anyway. So
squashing that rumor. There was a rumor that the Giants would be really jealous if he was back in the Big Apple, but not with them. So yeah, the Jets are moving and shaking. Alan Lazard, Mecole Hardman, and then remember Garrett Wilson was the Offensive Rookie of the Year last season. Corey Davis, Denzel Mims, but they're going into the final years of their deal, so we'll see what happens there. They have Breece Hall coming back, the rookie running back last year that was tearing it up before he got hurt. So he's coming back from injury. We know about their defense and how stout it is. I mean, they burn cheese heads for Aaron Rodgers, so.
And that's fine.
And when he says fine, he doesn't actually mean fine.
It's totally fine.
Totally fine.
It really is.
Wait, can I tell you something? I was on the phone with a friend who heard me say this whole spiel on the radio about how it's fine. It's totally fine. And that when I say it's fine, it's not totally fine. It's the opposite. So I said, we were having a discussion about something. I actually don't remember what. And I wouldn't say it was a disagreement. I would just say it was, we weren't quite on the same page. And I said, it's fine. And he goes, oh no.
So he knew.
He knew. Uh-oh. He's like, oh no, it's not fine.
Nothing's good here. Nothing about this is okay. That's what you meant.
I've tipped my hand. Now I can't use it anymore. I need a different word when I'm trying to backpedal and just shut it down. All right, coming up, a sobering piece of news from the NFL, though I am always grateful when, I don't want to give it away, when an athlete has new information based on a physical or a doctor's exam, and it wouldn't have happened otherwise. To me, everything happens for a reason, and I'll explain coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second down, and they will send Ruggs all alone off to the right. He's one-on-one with Darius Slay. Slay gives him a little bit of a cushion. Now he backs off. Carr looks to the middle, fires, grabbed in the end zone by Foster Moreau. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brent Musburger, who used to be the voice of the Las Vegas Raiders radio network, and the reason we highlight Foster Moreau is not because he is signed with a new team. He's still making visits and going through physicals with various NFL teams to find a new home after he left the Raiders, but that actually has been life-saving for him, potentially. Definitely life-changing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not sure if you saw this. Initially, my reaction was, oh no. And then as I'm reading through the post that he put on Twitter, as well as the story that I found online, it became one of those, oh yes, everything happens for a reason. According to Foster on his Twitter, and I'll just read you what he wrote, this free agency period has been life-changing for me. During a routine physical conducted by the Saints medical team down in New Orleans, I've come to learn that I have Hodgkin's lymphoma and will be stepping away from football at this time to fight a new opponent, cancer. I'm grateful for the support and thankful for people who have stood firm with me. There hasn't been a single step I've taken without hundreds of people lighting the path before me, and I will continue to seek their guidance. And then he finishes up with another tweet. I'll go kick this thing's ass and get back to doing what I love. And producer Jay, if you would like to retweet those from our show account, After Hours CBS. How about that? He's going through the free agency process. He's going through medical testing. He has physicals with various teams that he's visiting, in this case, the New Orleans Saints. Now, he had also visited with the Bengals last week as part of the free agency process, but he goes through a physical conducted by the Saints medical staff. And they find out that he has cancer, Hodgkin's lymphoma. That is a miracle. Let's just say for the sake of argument, and thank goodness it did not work out that way, that he doesn't change teams, or that these teams don't require physicals, at least initially, or that the screenings aren't as extensive enough to indicate that there's something wrong. Or maybe he doesn't go through it at this time, but it's a year later, and then potentially it's too late. No, this is amazing. My prayer is that they caught it early enough so that he can be fully treated and fully free of cancer. So it would be in remission at some point. This is actually something that's happened before with this Saints doctor. Dr. John Amos, he actually, going back a few years, discovered an aortic aneurysm of another player at that time was with the Eagles. And so he goes through a physical with the Saints medical team because there was a trade that was proposed and they find this aneurysm. God is using this doctor to uncover some nasty stuff so that athletes are, and in the case of the long snapper, he had to retire. He had surgery and he retired. But in the case of Foster Moreau, needs to go through this treatment. This is about white blood cells and it affects your lymph node system, the body's immune system. It's actually less common than the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. But the one that he has is Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he's going to step away from football to make sure that he gets the treatment he needs. And I am so grateful, as you can imagine he is, because this could have gone unchecked if he wasn't in this particular cycle in his career and wasn't going through medical testing. Again, it's happened more than once. The number of people, the number of times that we've talked about it here on the show even, but the number of times that I've read stories like this where it's because of a medical test or a physical that an athlete figures out, realizes there's something else wrong. Jay, was it Caris LeVert? Was it Caris? So Caris LeVert got traded from the Nets. Was it the Pacers?
At the time,
really,
yes.
Will you look up really quickly what he had?
That's what I was trying to think
I know,
of.
I could see it on your face. So Jay is a Nets fan. And when Caris LeVert got traded to the Pacers, this was just 2 years ago, right? Two, three years ago, he got traded to the Pacers. And I remember this exact same thing happened. He went through a physical and they found out that he also had, it was cancer, right? He had to get treated as well. If you want to remind me what it was that he had.
There was a small mass on his left kidney and tests confirmed that it was cancerous. Yeah, that was with the Pacers in 2021.
Yeah, that was just 2 years ago. So this type of thing does happen. And otherwise, they might not know until there were symptoms that were starting to affect them as athletes. And these are world-class athletes, right? So they're very in tune with their physical bodies. But at the same time, you don't want anything to be growing unchecked in your body. And you wouldn't know about it unless you went through these types of scans until, of course, it became a problem. And the symptoms start manifesting themselves in the form of pain or other issues. So my goodness, what a blessing, what a miracle that they were able to find this. And so I'm sad that Foster has to step away from the NFL, but gosh, the fact that the Saints were able to diagnose it and that this doctor has been part of this process with more than one pro athlete, and that it, again, it does happen. It's a huge deal that they go through world-class medical testing and physicals. Obviously, what they're looking for are long-term injuries. They're looking for any types of problems that maybe haven't been diagnosed in, you know, whatever paperwork there is or any of the injury lists that we get every week for fantasy football and betting purposes. Maybe it's never been listed, but a guy might be dealing with something. In this case, it's something they would never see unless they did a full body medical test exams like this. So, gosh, thinking of him, we'll definitely be praying for him because he is 25 years old and has not only more years to play, but a very long life ahead of him. Theoretically, he should. He should have a very long life ahead of him. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I could see Jay's wheels turning. He was trying to remember who it was that it just happened with a couple of years ago.
Honestly, thank you. It was driving me crazy in here.
But I can imagine. It drove me pretty nutso when I couldn't come up with Hunter and Hunted, which,
yeah.
What is wrong with me in cliches? I get them wrong every time. All right, so on Twitter, After Hours CBS, if you want to see a couple of the highlights from the NBA night, or if you want to see these tweets from Foster Moreau, you can also find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Ike Reese, a former NFL linebacker, spent most of his career with the Eagles, and he will also talk to us about Sixers. I'm going to ask him, Joel Embiid, MVP candidate or nah? No, I'm not going to say it like that. But the Phillies, too, getting set for opening day, and they've added Trey Turner to their lineup, fresh off a super hot World Baseball Classic, even though Team USA lost. Just as a side note, I got so many tweets and messages from you all about the WBC. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. And I get it. It wasn't even the biggest event going in March. And yet it was a nice taste of spirit and energy and electricity. And I think to see the final few games featuring Japan, yes, but the walk-off over Mexico in the semis and then the battle that we got at the end with Japan and Team USA and obviously Ohtani, it was just fun. It was fun. As exhibitions go, certainly turned a lot of heads, and it was fun. I hope that opening day has as much magnetism, if you will. It's hard to keep up that energy for 162 games. It definitely becomes a grind. But I thought it was fun. I mean, they planned it perfectly so that the semifinals and the finals were on day... Well, the Team USA played its semifinal on Sunday, right? So it actually went up against basketball. But the Japan-Mexico, and it was a no contest against Cuba, but the Mexico-Japan game was Monday, and the championship was Tuesday. There was almost literally nothing else going on in pro sports except for a couple of basketball games. It was a perfect time to drop a WBC championship, and they had their medals, and they were proudly wearing them. Let's see, what do we want to do coming up here? You know what? Why don't we get to the controversy around the Warriors and the Mavericks, because the Mavericks are protesting this game for a play that happened late in the third quarter of their battle last night. So we'll let you hear from the various peeps involved. That's what they are. Not these peeps. We're giving these away, actually.
No one likes those.
They're smushy. I keep trying to smush them just to see, because sometimes when peeps sit on the shelf for too long, they get hard. Ew, that's so gross. These are actually soft peeps.
Can we just, like, as a society,
they go peep,
just deem peeps as decorations at this point?
Peep? No, because there are people in our newsroom that eat them.
Who?
Sean.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
And remember, he loves marshmallows. He's going to be part of Chubby Bunny again. Chubby Bunny Championship coming up next month. It's the next edition of the After Hours Chubby Bunny World Championship. Okay, I got to go record a CBS Sports Minute. Stop trying to distract me.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It makes me creep. We're tied with a minute 40 to go. Tiebreaker on the line here in Dallas. Curry spins away from a defender, forces his way to the middle, gets to the foul line, bounce past Draymond, goes up, scored and got fouled! One with a foul, Draymond's got a chance for a three-point play. Curry on the logo. Dribbling, guarded by Bullock. Here comes Draymond. Shot clock at 8, game clock at 14. Curry gets Kleba on a switch. Goes right side on him. Dribbles all the way. A screen by Draymond, and Curry gets a layup. Draymond with an outstanding screen. Sealed off the defender, and it was a clear path for Curry right to the rim. And the Warriors lead 125-122. Timeout, Mavs. 8.5 to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Hey, don't look now, but the Warriors are coming for you. They have won back-to-back road games. All right, nobody get excited. They dropped 11 in a row before that. But my point is, they are playing defense on the road now, which is really impressive. And when you've got your stars who are leading the charge, it's always a better look. You want your stars out front. And Draymond Green had a big and one late in the game. Plus, he sealed the defense behind him. There could be no help as Steph went cruising down the lane. I couldn't believe how wide open Steph was. He turned the corner on his defender, because that's what he does, at the free throw line, right elbow, and then boom, straight down the lane. There was nobody there because Draymond had essentially boxed out the defender, so the defender couldn't come across the lane and help when Steph got by his mark. So the stars were out to play late, but they still had defense that they had to play. And let's be fair, this is the Achilles heel for the Warriors away from home this year.
The Mavs will have Bullock throwing it in. Hardy's out there. He's been hot tonight. Doncic lines up on the weak side, guarded by Draymond.
Would you dare foul on purpose, Tim?
Boy, it'd be tough. Ball thrown into Doncic. Backs in, pump fake goes up. Missed the layup. Rebound tip saved by Clay to Looney. Looney gets fouled with 1.7 to go.
I thought Draymond was incredible down the stretch defensively. Offensively, he sealed his guy on Steph's layup with 8 seconds left, which was a brilliant play.
Yeah, Draymond Green in the center of everything. Nearly got another technical foul. So I thought for a second there he might get tossed, but he didn't. 14 points for him, 8 assists, 4 rebounds. But here's the big thing. 4 block shots and 3 steals. Why is this game being protested by the Dallas Mavericks? That is the question. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Just as a matter of note, Luka Doncic returned after, what did he miss, 5 games, I believe, he was out. So he was back, and he had 30 points and 17 assists. And in both of the last 2 defensive stops, the Warriors had to face Luka with the ball in his hands. At the top of the key, he got shut down by Klay Thompson and had this wild look at 3 that, I mean, just wasn't a quality look. I'm not even sure he was straight up at the hoop. And then he got pinned underneath by Draymond in his defense and was able to get kind of a point-blank shot, but still, body was twisting in a different direction, and Draymond did not foul him. And so they had to face Luka, but were able to withstand that in the late stages. But the Mavericks are protesting for a moment that happened at the end of the 3rd quarter. So this is the Warriors' perspective, okay? So out of a timeout, this is how it unfolded.
Feeds into Looney. The Warriors inbounded the ball, and the Mavs... Now Michael Smith comes over.
Where
Andy Nagy handed the ball. Dallas wasn't on defense. He handed the ball to Poole, and it's a dunk.
This is crazy.
Dallas,
they may take this all back.
Was not defending the bucket. That's not the Warriors' responsibility.
I understand.
It's not the referee's responsibility to tell them to play defense. Looney got a wide-open dunk. Never seen that.
Well, they fell asleep, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And Looney gets the easiest bucket that maybe I've ever seen.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on. I'm just glad JP passed to me because all those was open. I needed that to get to my double-double, so thank you, JP.
Number one, it was my best ATO of the year. It worked brilliantly, just the way we got organized and confused them. I had to stop, and when I saw them at the other end, I had to stop and think, wait, isn't this our basket? Because I had drawn up a play for an out of bounds, underneath baseline out of bounds. And when they were down at the other end, I had to stop and think, is this right? And so I don't know what happened. You'd have to ask their side. I thought it was pretty clear that it was our ball. And that's why I was drawing up a play, out of bounds on the baseline, but they all lined up at the other end. I guess they assumed it was their ball.
Well, they assumed wrong, and if you haven't seen the video, it is fairly shocking. You don't see much confusion that results in a wide open play like this, especially out of a timeout. And that's the part that the Mavericks got really incensed about, especially Mark Cuban. He actually marched right up to the scorer's table, and he was actually asking, "Wait a minute, what just happened? That was supposed to be our ball." So, if you haven't seen the video, excuse me, I just hiccuped. I don't know why. It's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And we'll get Jason Kidd's explanation here in a second, but what you'll see is that the Warriors are all on one end of the court. The ball's being inbounded in the corner, so it's not directly underneath the hoop. Ball's inbounded in the corner by Jordan Poole. The Mavericks' defense, no one is over half court. They're on the other end. There are 2 guys, at least in the camera shot, that are standing at half court, but they're kind of hands up in the air wondering what's happening. Apparently believed it was their ball, but the referee hands it to Jordan Poole. He inbounds to a Kevon Looney who's coming down the lane. It's almost like they were in practice doing a walkthrough, and Looney slams it because there was no defense. So what the Mavericks were saying is that they thought it was their ball. Meanwhile, it gets inbounded to the Warriors, and here's the kicker. One of the officials was also at the wrong end of the court, Michael Smith. So as you hear Jason Kidd reference a mic, that's who he's talking about.
It wasn't really explained. I think there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people were out of position. So when you look at the court was split, we're on one side and the Warriors on another, and you have a referee on the baseline. Mike was on the baseline, so I would assume Mike thought it was our ball too. So, you know, to explain to Mike or ask Mike, like, if there's confusion, it's easy to just come in and blow the whistle and get us restarted. Because it was confusion. Understanding that we thought it was our ball. The referee pointed towards our bench, but that was the signal of the timeout. And so, but there was confusion on the play before it even started with whose ball it was, because he pointed, I thought, to us first, and then he changed it and then went to a timeout and pointed to us. So as I asked Mike, I said, Mike, why are you down the floor if you don't think if it's not our ball? And so there was quite a few people out of position on that play. It's easy, it's correctable, but you first have to admit there was a mistake.
Right. So the officials were interviewed after, the lead official was, and he said there was no mistake. They very clearly communicated that it was Warriors' ball. And I think there's two pieces of this that you could interpret however you like. Why is Steve Kerr drawing up a play in his huddle for the Warriors to inbound if he doesn't think it's their ball, right? So at least the Warriors knew it was their ball. Now, the confusion for the Mavericks is two things. Number one, there was a whistle to indicate, hey, second horn. For those of you who know basketball, you get two warnings at a timeout. And the second one means get your rear ends on the court. Now you're out of time. And when the second whistle blew, apparently there was an official who was pointing. Now, the official thought he was pointing to the team. The team thought he was pointing to the end of the court where it would have been their ball, right? So that's the confusion. And I do understand what Jason Kidd is saying. This is correctable. All you got to do is say, yo, the ball is at the other end. Except when I officiated, that wasn't our jobs. If the teams were out of position, we were supposed to either put the ball in the court if there was nobody there to inbound it, or we were supposed to give it to the people that were standing there, whether or not the defense made it out on the court. So it's not the ref's job to correct the guys who are out of position. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not-so-smart decisions. Like, maybe you had a little too much confidence in that one crypto exchange. The good news is, making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Mmm, tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
It's March, and that can mean only one thing. The madness is here. Not in front of a TV on game day? Listen to every round of NCAA March Madness live from Westwood One, free in the Odyssey app. Catch all the biggest moments of the tournament, no matter where you are, from Cinderella's.
A 15 seed will head to the Elite Eight.
To buzzer beaters.
Atkinson scores. 1.4 seconds left.
To champions.
For the fourth time.
Search for NCAA March Madness right here in the Odyssey app to get started.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy, you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.